thought about Charlotte, and I hope that doesn't happen. I hear a lot about it, but I'm crossing my fingers. I think Tampa is the obvious place where we end up. Who knows?
Hey, Rusty, no offense to our listeners over in the Carolinas, and I hope I'm not offending anybody. I couldn't think of anywhere less that I would rather see a student athlete go for a reward for something than over into cold, rainy, or snowy, or windy. And if you've ever seen those Charlotte games, even in early December when the ACC has played their championship game over there, if you've seen some of those games.
Oh, they're horrendous. When Florida State comes up to play Charlotte to play Georgia Tech, and there's like 35 people there.
I mean, thank you.
One thing about it, though, that would be the best possible scenario for Charlotte, for them to have us there, because we would put 60,000 in the seats.
There's no question, but it would be a horrible versus what Sean's talking about.
Oh, I know.
I go back to Jacksonville again.
Yeah.
Go to Orlando. I'd take it any day of the week. In fact, I would take Atlanta. I would take the Peach Bowl over that, which I know isn't going to happen, but I'm just saying.
I'm with you. I'm with any of the Florida sites. And, you know, if I had my wish, I wish we could play somebody from the Pac-10. I wish the SEC would get a Pac-10 tie-in. I want USC in a bowl game. I want SC in El Paso. I'll go to Texas.
I used to love, guys, the way the bowl system used to be. And for a lot of young kids hearing us, Sean, they don't remember these days. But at one time, it was wide open. When you weren't one of the teams tied into, like, the Sugar Bowl back in the day or one of the elite teams, when you were in that second tier, which is where Tennessee is right now, the 8-4 teams, you could go anywhere from the Sun Bowl to the Holiday Bowl to you name it, but there were tons of chances in different games. You could end up in the Fiesta Bowl at one time. I like that those days a lot better than these tie-ins.
I don't like the tie-ins.
Well, I don't know about that because I can't prove this, but I believe there was the equivalent of record payola when you got those selections.
But to Rusty's point now, you can't tell me that the league office behind closed doors isn't cutting deals with these bowl games in terms of who goes where,
of course,
and who goes what, and if
they do this, we'll do that.
At
that time, it was athletic directors doing it, and so. But I hear, it was not. But if I could interject here, and Rusty, you said something interesting. Is I've listened, you know, for several weeks now, and I'm not saying you're doing this, but I've listened to our fans do this, and there's a natural tendency to say what would have happened or what could have happened besides looking at what did happen. I mean, I can remember it wasn't long ago that we would ask a punt returner not even to touch the ball because we couldn't even catch it.
Yeah.
I remember when our special teams was like Red Rover come on over against Georgia and Brandon James at Florida, and you guarantee you were going to have one taken back. I can remember when we could barely punt the ball. We couldn't even a couple years South Sincere, we couldn't even tackle anybody. We had DBs that couldn't even run 4.7 40s at pro day. And now we've got, or at least at this point, we've got Bob Stoops running off the field gleeful that he escaped one.
No question.
We've got, Florida, where they stole one, and that doesn't make me happier, but from where we've been to where we are now, it's light years.
Oh, we are right on the cusp of greatness. And I'm sure there's some out there saying we sound like Cubs fans.
That's okay.
That's bull crap. That's not true. We all know that we're returning roughly 19, 20 starters from a team that went down to the wire with three of the teams that are likely going to be in the Final Four, and the rest of the games we pretty much won. We had one bad night against Arkansas, and I agree with Tony. That game's different if we had won the Florida game. I know it's a bad matchup, but our offense is better than the way we played against Arkansas night, and their defense.
Well, we were up 14-0 in the first quarter.
Yeah, the big problem in that game, though, Sean, looking back on it, was Josh Dobbs spent himself in that game. And if you look at this season, for instance, Josh Dobbs didn't really use his legs all that much, and tonight he did, and he's kind of alternated if you go back and just look at the way the season's gone. And in my mind, he really He had a game of the century type game down there at Florida, the way he was taking guys on. And he took four or five monster shots, and so he had nothing left. I mean, that next week. He protected himself, and I don't blame him.
There was the Preston Williams fumble, and there was the Kamara's punt return callback on a block in the back. I guess we didn't get him from the side like the Georgia game against us.
Well, take a look at this, guys. Also, you've got a guy that was just a laughing stock last year at right tackle, who looks like he'll probably be going into his third and fourth season up for all conference honors at center in Coleman Thomas.
Oh.
You have a guy that no one's talking about, but Chance Hall's just walked into a right tackle spot. He won't leave there for 4 years.
Yep.
Nope.
You got on and on. You got Shy Tuttle before he got hurt, who was playing as well as any of the young defensive tackles in the country. And we haven't, respectfully, we've gotten anything from Khalil McKenzie. And that's not a crack. That just says...
That's the way it is.
That's just the way it is. He's on the come. You've got a guy, and I know we've argued this, but I believe right now as a true freshman, we have the best true freshman middle linebacker we've had at Tennessee in 30 years. And don't tell me Al Wilson is a true freshman, because Al Wilson is a true freshman. Kirkland junior right now. He was as a junior and senior, but he wasn't a freshman. We've got players all over the place that are like the players in the late 80s and early 90s.
So the question about Butch Jones going on the next season is, and the next couple of years, and it's a real honest question, is I know he can shop. Can he make us a championship cake? We're going to find out.
He's got to get better line cooks, in my opinion.
We're going to find out.
You're asking the same question that LSU fans have been asking about Les Miles.
No, Les Miles has won national championships. It's different.
With Nick Saban's team that he inherited the second year he was there, and they haven't had a quarterback decent since then.
Well, there's no argument. I'm not going to argue. Yeah, I can't argue that.
And I hope Les Miles is at LSU forever, and I hope Mark Richt never leaves Georgia.
Rusty, thank you. Great phone call. But I would take, with all due respect, Les Miles' body of work against Butch Jones. No offense. Do I offend you by saying that, Cinco?
You do Les Miles a disservice by even comparing the two.
Okay, I mean, I don't know what Rusty was getting at there, but hey, more power to you. 865-200-5402. Portions of tonight's action as we keep it rolling here and keep the phone calls coming. Presented by First Mortgage Lenders, Jim Baker, and the gang. 20-year track record of helping you find the right mortgage loan product to fit your needs. Whether you're hunting something conventional or an FHA loan or a VA no down payment or USDA rural development home loan, First Mortgage Lenders, this is what they do. Securing a loan is simple and straightforward. No games, no gimmicks. 925-0700, 865-925-0700. Online at firstmortgagelendersinc.com. 20 years of serving the living volunteers. 865-200-5402. 865-200-5402. As we get ready to go back to the phones on a night where Ole Miss leads Mississippi State 31-13 heading into the fourth quarter, where Florida State continues to shut out Florida 10-0, where Stanford has taken a 28-23 lead on Notre Dame midway through the third, where Oklahoma has a 40-burger before halftime, 41-17 on Oklahoma State in the Bedlam game. And you know what they just said to the coach from Oklahoma? You damn right! We're getting 40! 40 before halftime!
LSU ripped off the 50-yarder, Tony, for a score.
Who did?
LSU.
Ah, that's great. Good for Les Miles. They'll carry him off the field tonight.
Again, how do you come back to him tomorrow and
thank
say,
you.
Psych, just kidding.
We were just kidding.
By the way, you're not getting that's ridiculous.
We were just kidding with you. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in here. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony, what's up, man?
Hey, welcome in, my friend.
Hey, first of all, thanks for being here this year. It's been fun. It's been frustrating as hell at times, but overall it's been a pretty good year, and thank you for doing this show. I know I've called in, bitched, and carried on quite a bit, but I thank you and my family thanks you, and, you know, I enjoy it, man. It's the best show on radio, in my opinion.
Hey, thank you. And I want to remind you, we do it all during basketball season. We'll do a recruiting special. We'll be on as soon as the bowl game is announced next week. When news breaks out, we like to break in here.
Hey, man, today, it's been a while since I could remember a beatdown like that against the SEC team in Neyland. So, kind of felt to me a little bit like old days, you know. So it was good to see, you know, hug the seniors and beat the crap out of Kentucky or Vanderbilt. Everybody smile and go home, you know. So,
you know, to your point, I think the last 2 weeks have felt like elite football. And what I mean is, last week's game, that Missouri game was never in doubt. And tonight's game, when we talk about elite, tonight's game, Vanderbilt has an opportunity there to get back in a game. And Tennessee, at the blink of an eye, I mean at the blink of an eye, blows that team out of the building. And to Sean's point, and the point of a couple of callers, in the last 18 months, we weren't capable of doing that 2 years ago. Now this team will spurt on you, and like Oklahoma's doing tonight, and will flip a switch and will blow you out when you take your eye off the prize, which is what Alabama does to people. You just need a crack of light. Great teams need a crack of light.
When Dobbs gets rolling in the running game, that offense is pretty hard to handle. So,
oh boy.
You know, hopefully, we can keep him healthy next year. And but hey, man, one question. I heard you guys talk about scheduling earlier in the show, and to me, the most frustrating thing I see about next year is our SEC schedule. And who you know, the last few weeks I've watched the Big 12, which it's came down to the end of the year. You see Baylor, TCU, Oklahoma State, they're all playing each other. You see the Big 10, you see Ohio State, Michigan, all those guys playing each other. Yet SEC has us in Florida playing in September, and it makes absolutely no sense to me. And to me, it's stupid. You see us playing North Texas. You see Alabama playing whoever, Charleston Southern or whoever it was. But you don't see the SEC at least coming down, you know, to those last few weeks of the year like you do in other conferences. And for Tennessee and Florida, which I think, you know, we're heading back toward that. That's going to mean the East, or it's going to play a big part in the East every year. And for them, you know, Tennessee had to play them first conference game of the year. It's ridiculous. And, you know, I'm sick of seeing it. It seems like, you know, they need to look at how they do our SEC schedule. And I just want to see what you guys thought of that.
I've been an advocate forever of moving the Florida game, and I've been an advocate of doing a reverse pyramid type of scheduling for the league. And I hate to say this, but the Big Ten has it right. The Pac-10 has it right. You play your non-league games at the front of your schedule. If you want to mix one of those bye games in just to give yourself a break in late October, that's fine. Sean, I'm a big believer that you should be playing the teams in your league like you do in the NFL, like you do in baseball, traditionally speaking. You should be playing the teams in your league as you wind up the season. And the teams on in your division should be at the back end of your schedule. Cinco, your thoughts?
Well, I'd like to think that there'll be a time in the near future when Florida and Florida fans will be saying, you know what, I'm sick and tired of playing Tennessee at the beginning of the year. I don't think you're going to see that, frankly, because they're not going to put a Tennessee back-to-back against Florida and Florida State. I mean, that's going to, Florida and Florida State's going to take precedence at the end of the year, and then they potentially might have a SEC championship game. I do understand your point. Now, I've heard you all week talk about this, Tony, and I just wonder if you did that, the first 4 weeks of the schedule would just be brutal throughout the country. So,
True. No, because Alabama schedules a great non-league game. Tennessee plays at least one very good non-league game. So you would still have throughout the year, and then you would sneak in different conference matchups and that sort of thing. But the problem with our league, though, is we have some weeks where of the 10 games or 12 games or however many games that are played, seven or eight of them are bye games. I mean, it's just, and it's November when you're doing that. That just, to me, is egregious. It's robbing your fans.
Well, maybe, but I think if you were a coach, you might enjoy those because you do kind of get to be healthy. It is a grinder. I'm not saying one's better than the other. I really don't care. But I think there's a price to pay no matter how you do it. And I'm not saying you're wrong.
I think for Florida and Tennessee, it's honestly their biggest game of the year. And in the future, it's going to be, in my opinion. I mean, it's going to be Florida's biggest game. It's going to be our biggest game because it's going to play the most, you know, it's going to be the most pivotal game of who wins the East. So why you play it to open your conference schedule for one team and there's, you know, the other team's playing your second conference game, it makes no sense to me. But hey, one more question. All these coaching changes going on. Is there anybody on our staff that's going to be targeted to go somewhere else? And, also does Sheridan get a job or is he gone? And, I'll hang up and listen. I love you guys. You take care.
Great question. About Sheridan, I'm hearing they're probably going to go outside, on that deal. That's what I'm hearing. That's the latest. Although nothing's done. That's an interesting question with some of these new staffs. Are there guys that will have connections? Are there guys that will be encouraged to look around? Hey, you're talking about a team. I mean, let's talk about the season. Sean, we've been talking about tonight. A team that's trending up. You're talking about a team that's going to come into 2016 with a lot of high hopes. Do they want to maintain continuity? Or, as you suggested earlier, does he shuffle the deck? Not what you want, but what Butch Jones will do in his perfect world. You think he shuffles the deck, Sean, with kind of a huge year in the offing here?
I think what he would probably do is he would probably be reactive to things on his staff, meaning that there's going to be so much change that if you think about it, maybe Gillespie's the only guy that really you don't want to lose that's attractive right now. I don't think Stripling, I don't think there's a really need for him to leave the area. I think he's pretty settled here. You know, Thigpen, the days of the hired recruiting gun are kind of come and gone a little bit. You know, Auburn's trying to do it. It's not really working down there. You know, Alabama's doing it and those guys are moving on. Thigpen's not been huge the past couple years in recruiting like he was the first couple. So I guess you could see that a little bit. But the money's getting so good everywhere that I'm not really sure. I think what Butch Jones may do if he makes a move, it would probably be after signing day. And that would be a move that he wants to make, meaning an offensive line coach. Or unless there's and here's what I don't know about the quarterback coach, because there are very few true quarterback coaches that aren't offensive coordinators as well. And we've seen what Butch Jones says. You're going to run my offense. You're going to assimilate into the way we do things. I don't know who he's going to bring in that's attractive to. So I'm not really sure. On defense, besides Stripling, I really don't care who moves on. I think it's an upgrade. Though there's nothing against Thigpen. He could stay and I'd be happy. But the other two, I could care less what happens to them.
You said Stripling. You didn't mean Stripling.
No, I'm saying no.
Oh, you're talking about Janzik and Martinez in terms of them being guys that wouldn't hurt your feelings if they went elsewhere.
No, not at all. Not at all. In fact, I think anybody gets an upgrade over those two.
Poor Janzik. I mean, if he had to move stuff out of his office and he could get five guys to do it, I'm sure he would only bring three. Let's go to the phones. 865-200-5402.
I see what you did there.
What'd I do? Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. As Notre Dame takes a lead over on Stanford, 29-28, 2:44 to play in that game. Hello and welcome. Yes, hello, you're on the air. Okay, let me try this again. I'm going to tell this person. If you heard the click there. Okay, let's do this one more time. Hello and welcome, you're on the air. Go right ahead. Okay, now you're gone. To our next caller. Hello and welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, appreciate you guys taking my call tonight, Tony.
Hey, thank you for being there.
Yeah, this is Michael in San Antonio. I got a quick question for you guys, and I don't know if you have an answer for it, but why am I still watching this Oklahoma State game?
Oh, like it's like a good car crash, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. It's 44-17. It's not even halftime.
Yeah, it's a beating. How would you feel? Now, here you talk about some sheep. How would you feel if you sat down there in Stillwater and you were a prop for game day today? I hate to put it any other way, but they sat out there in the cold and the freezing rain, and fan is short for fanatic. But these people, Michael in San Antonio, are going to, in 3 or 4 days, come down with flu-like symptoms, some of them, sore throats, coughs, colds, hoarse throats, and all to be a prop for Kirk Herbstreit. Think about that. And to see your team get the absolute hell beaten out of it on national television.
Good for them.
Yeah, it comes with the territory up there for those Okies, man, no matter what side you're on, whether it's Oklahoma or the Oklahoma State guys.
I'm a man. I'm a man, and you put 40 on me at halftime. I'm a man.
I'm a man, and I'm 40. But you know, I think I twigged you a little bit earlier. To quote the Dennis Green thing, that's all I can think of tonight. But I don't know if you remember that NFL game where Dennis Green, the Cardinals, got beat on Monday Night Football, I think, by a team that was undefeated. I can't remember what. And he went on that rant, and he said, they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook. And that's all I can think of with this game right here. You know, we were up on these guys over 2 scores in the fourth quarter. You know, we ended up losing the game to Oklahoma in overtime, and they've just gone on an absolute, well, besides laying that egg against Texas, they've been on an absolute tear since then. And, you know, the Baker Mayfield guy, he's going to be in New York probably sitting in one of those chairs for the Heisman Trophy running. You know, and we played these, we beat these guys.
We beat them. That's disgusting. Yeah. It's I'm with Sean tonight, and if you've listened to me, I've been a really good little boy. I am not going to belabor this until the time comes. Tonight is a night for celebration. Tonight is a night to say you won 5 straight. Tonight is a night to say we've come together as a Tennessee family. Let's celebrate. Tonight is a night of looking forward and not looking in the rearview mirror. There will be times this offseason on the talk show where we will look back and just kind of marvel at how close it was right in our hands.
Yep. I remember talking to you and Dr. Sinclair before the season even started on one of your Wednesday shows, you know, about what our expectations are. We all talked about being 8-4 would be a good season for us. It would be a solid, you know, improvement over last year. I mean, my checklist is checked off for everything that I expected out of this team. Yeah, I wanted to see improvement on, you know, both sides of the ball. We saw that. 8-4 season, two-game improvement over last year. We do have that. We're going to a better bowl game this year. You know, I saw on Twitter a while ago, some guy said, but UT's already talking, you know, they're already in for the Belt Bowl. Who the hell wants to see him go to the Belt Bowl? I don't. I want to see him go to a Florida Bowl game. We deserve better than the Belt Bowl.
Yeah, the Belk Bowl, to me, I would rather go play the game at Westtown Mall if we're going to play at the Belk Bowl. Right inside of Belk, Cinco. Cinco!
Just clear it out.
Well, I don't see, I mean, there aren't many teams that have more juice than us right now.
Yeah.
I mean, LSU, why would you bring them to a bowl game?
Right.
A&M, I'm not sure that someone's going to be there at the end of this year. You know, on and on, Georgia, I mean, they still haven't, I'm sure he'll be back, but they're disgruntled. They're disappointed.
Florida fans don't even sell their own stadium out right now.
No.
Then I noticed Mark Rick, you know, they won today, I think, and, you know, he has 9 wins this year.
Yep.
And that's kind of a lousy 9 wins, if you ask me. It doesn't feel like, to see the what Georgia went through this year, the breakdowns and the collapses they've had, that 9 wins, it's a little bit surprising to me, because it didn't look to my eyes like they're a 9-win team. Not by the, well, you know, what you call the eyeball test.
It's amazing what Mark Rick does, though, because he is all Beyonce, because the guy is the ultimate survivor. He keeps on surviving. It is unbelievable that they won 9 games in a year that felt like a losing season for them. And I guarantee that year, that game in Jacksonville, that felt like 4 losses to that fan base.
But they have so much freaking talent on that team.
Yes, they do, Sean.
I mean, they have pro players all, and you look at it, you look at the NFL as just littered with
yes.
Georgia players that did nothing.
Well, and they got the they have this year, I want to say, one guy who's projected as one of the offensive players of the year, rookie team in the NFL, and another one that's projected on the defensive team. And they've had some guys flat out explode. Like that Thomas Davis over there in Carolina right now, he might be the MVP of their football team. Him and
what about Houston last year for my Chiefs?
Thank
signed
you.
Signed a massive, massive contract. He was a nice player at Georgia.
Nice player, but he exploded
I didn't know he
there.
He played at Georgia. Yeah, he's a hell of a player. I forgot he played at Georgia. Wow. But I know Coach Glanville on your show the other day, he said he was looking through the binoculars, you know, at the one of their defensive liners who projected a number one draft pick. The guy that ran that fumble back for that touchdown.
Exactly.
I believe it was.
Yeah, he's
going to be a high draft pick. You know, talent all over the field.
They're loaded. And here's the thing. They'll be very good next year again. And the reason Tennessee gets the nod over them next year is even if Eason goes there, you're still talking about a true freshman quarterback in this league, and it's just not going to happen for a true freshman quarterback in this league. It's just not.
No. Yeah, we've seen it with too many, you know, freshmen already. I mean, believe me, I've seen a lot of good true freshmen play that they're going to be good within the next couple of years all across the country this year. But, you know, like you said, you no matter what, you're still going to have those growing pains in your first year. And, you know, and I heard you talking about, you know, maybe some coaching changes, Sinclair. And I don't really care. I just don't want to see Zach Azani next year. I mean, the defense plays good enough where, you know, I'm indifferent about any type of coaching changes on the defense. I think we could get by with our talent alone on defense. I just don't want to see that. Golly, I just don't want to see Azani back next year. You know, not to harp on the guy, because he needs a job. I'm pretty sure he works long hours and does his diligence just like everybody else is. But I just don't think the guy's a good coach and he gets through to those kids, man.
Well, they behind the scenes, they don't like him. That hasn't been talked about much. They don't like him at all. But I'll say this, you'd be hard-pressed to find a secondary that plays much worse than ours does.
And another thing that annoys me about Zach Zani, the way he wears his hat and the way he talks, he looks like he'd be a relative of Kenny Chesney or somebody.
He is a little bit of a poser. I have to say that.
Kenny Chesney's younger brother or something like that. Yeah.
It's just
annoying, man. He has something
in common with Kenny Chesney too. Before he came here, I think he had like 7 jobs in 7 years, which would have meant that he would have worn about as many hats as Kenny Chesney does, depending on what's Sunday and who's winning.
Well, remember Meyer didn't take him with him, and neither did Bielema.
No.
Yeah, next time he goes to a job and he prints out his resume, the printer's going to run out of paper. That little red light will come on.
That's brutal.
Open up another ream of paper.
Well, Michael in San Antonio, thank you, brother. Have a great night.
Hey, it's been a good season, fellas, and I've enjoyed listening to you guys all year long. And, you know, we got another one coming up, and I'm anxious to see where we're going, who we're going to play. Hopefully it's another big, slow, big 10 team that we can run circles around. Maybe it'd be a Big 12 team that we could, hang about 60 points on because they play no defense.
Thank you, brother. I would love another crack at Oklahoma, but that ain't gonna happen. How about Oklahoma, Cinco? They walk through that open door, and I mean, they are up 44-20 right now at halftime. Meanwhile, third quarter has expired. LSU on top of A&M. 13-7. If A&M loses, Cinco, they're going to have an 8-4 record with all that blustering and all that this, and they've turned the corner and all that, and Texas is nothing, and A&M's going to gain traction in this league, and they lose tonight. They're going to finish in the middle of that division. Meanwhile, Stanford is leading Notre Dame 35-29, just scored a touchdown, first play of the fourth quarter, and that is a thrilling football game right there as we get ready to go back to our phones. Cinco, what about A&M and how overrated they are? And they are overrated, by the way.
Well, he's another coach that doesn't appreciate defense. He just pays lip service to it. And, that's why they paid so much for Chavis, so he could just hand Chavis the keys and say, I don't want to come over there. But I would not be surprised to see Sumlin in the NFL next year. And I know people are thinking I'm crazy, but I still think there's a good shot that Nick Saban ends up in Austin next year.
No, I don't think that's, yeah, I don't think that's crazy at all. In fact, if they could figure out a way, here's something I talked to somebody that's a big time mover and shaker behind the scenes with some agents, people, and folks that move people around. One of these guys that, you know, these kind of like puppet master type people, I guess for a lack of a better way of putting it. And those guys exist in major college sports, and they're good to know. And as long as you don't say a name and, or in my blog, write a name and say, this is where I got this, they'll give you general information or general idea of where things are going. The scuttlebutt in that industry is that Charlie Strong would love to leave Texas and take a Miami or take a South Carolina. Now, I don't know about Miami, but I'm going to tell you about South Carolina. If Charlie Strong had just won a few more games this year, they could have sold that to their boosters there. But right now, the stench of him at Texas and everything that swirled around there is so great that they're not going to do it. They're not that they would not take him. They would not take Texas coach right now. How unreal is that, Cinco?
South Carolina. I think South Carolina's painting themselves in a corner that they're not going to want to be in. I think they're really hurt, cruising for a bruising when it comes to hiring a head coach.
They're talking about Kirby Smart. You like that? Would you like that potential hire?
I'd love it if I'm Tennessee.
Oh, I'd love. Off the forkless coaches tray, the tumorous corner coaches tray of Steve Spurrier, fed by, what was the guy's name? The horticulturalist, the listener to the Feinbaum show?
Harvey Updike.
Of course. The guy's got, everybody's favorite, gentleman with the green thumb. I mean, he is the original lawn doctor. Let's get our next call in. Smart Way, Dalton Bearing Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction, where you're the star of the game working on 2.5 hours, and I welcome our next caller in. Hello and welcome. Let's go right ahead, please. Hello and welcome.
Hello.
Yeah, I can barely hear you. Are you like on an earpiece or something? All right, now try it. Go ahead. That's one of the better calls we've had tonight. Let's go back to the phones. 86, I'm just kidding. Yes, let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Tony, how you doing? This is Mark down in Maryville.
Hey, Mark in Maryville. Welcome in, man.
Man, I'll tell you what, this game was great, but it wasn't as good as the show we had last week at Cassie's.
We had us a show last week, didn't we, brother?
I know, man. Me, you, my boy and my brother and my sister were there. We were there talking, and you even referenced them on the call last weekend after the game. And, you know, what I'm saying is before the season, you know, people are calling for his head, and I mean, hell, we won eight games. Can you complain?
You could complain, but no, why complain?
I know, exactly, man. I'm with you, man. I just want to show my support for the Vols, and, you know, I'm here with my buddy. He's from Tuscaloosa, went down there. He's one of those people, and, you know, he's scared for next year.
Well, he should be, and I'll tell you what, they had them a close call today. If that goofball defensive coordinator doesn't get an extra 15-yard penalty for running onto the field and acting like a maniac today, it might have been a 6-point game late, which would allowed Auburn to really get back in that game. But today, for those that didn't see the game, Will Muschamp gave Alabama a free 3 points by losing his stuff and coming off the field, or coming off the sidelines onto the field, and it was an easy 15-yard penalty.
So the last caller mentioned something, or y'all were talking a minute ago about Saban leaving. Do you think that's a possibility?
I think that Saban, now, I'm not going to speak for Cinco on what he said. My belief is that Saban if the Texas job came open and they came after him, I think Saban would entertain leaving for Texas, yes.
Mm-hmm. If the money's right.
Or Indianapolis Colts of the NFL, chance to work with a better franchise than the one he was given in an mm-hmm. easy division. I think that's a possibility.
Yeah. Well, I just want to let you know, I'm singing my praises. You know, the Vols, we won 8 games. We could have done better, but, you know.
Could have done a whole lot worse. You got it, Mark.
Could have done a whole lot worse. And
yep.
I appreciate your long hours, Tony. And I look forward to calling in after the bowl victory.
Thank you, Mark. Don't be a stranger now. I'd like to see you around town. And if you're hunting a dentist, my man Sean Sinclair is right there in your community. Cinco, on the way out, Doc Sinclair, give me a final thought here, and then we're going to move through our rotating cast of characters. Final thought, Doc.
Well, I think today was a very good ending to a positive step forward for this program. I think we're starting to see some of the things that Butch Jones talked about earlier, program developing. I think next year, you know, I think for the starters, I think from now on we should be a contender for the East. I don't know that we're a contender for Alabama or something like that on a one-game deal, maybe so, but I still think we're a little bit away, but certainly we're toe-to-toe with anyone else in the Eastern Division, and that's the first step. So I hope we can avoid some injuries here. I hope we can finish out strong with a nice Florida bowl game, a good recruiting class, and let's see what happens in 2016. Thanks for having me, Tony.
Well put, brother. Thank you. You are a absolute gem. You're a gentleman and a scholar. Make no mistake about it. And I appreciate you, your time, and my best. 865-200-5402. Tennessee victorious today over Vanderbilt. A game really not indicative of how one-sided this game was. Tennessee just put the pedal through the throttle down on them from the third quarter on to the point and the tune of a 53-28 win. Vandy with two late scores just to make it look somewhat semi-respectable, as semi-respectable as that score can look, which I don't think is all that much respectable, but then again, 865-200-5402 is our number. As I remind you, it is the smart way. Dalton Behring Hydraulic. Fifth quarter fan reaction, the place where you're the star of the game. After every basketball and football game, we join you here. And we want to hear from you as we're going to get our next expert commentator in. And we'll continue our phone calls right after this. Just kidding. I don't take timeouts on here. But I will remind you exactly what it is you're listening to here.
It's time for another hour of power on today's game. It's the Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction, where you are the star of the postgame. Presented without commercial interruption. The lines are open now. 865-200-5402. 865-200-5402. And now, it's time to get your host, Tony Basilio.
And we welcome you back, ladies and gentlemen. As the Mr. Announcer Man just told you there, we're back with you on your smart way, Dalton Behring Hydraulic. Fifth quarter fan reaction, the place where you're the star of the game. And we'd love to hear from you on the program. If you want to get in, 865-200-5402. Tennessee victorious 53-28 over Vandy today in a game that will never be forgotten by the living fan. Will this be a launchpad game into a special season next year? There are a lot of people in these parts that are certainly hoping so. And let's go ahead and go back to our phones without further ado and get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hello, Tony.
It's yes. Magnum. Hey, Maggie, welcome.
Tony, if I would have taken this record at the beginning of the season, I was kind of expecting 8-4. And really, you know, the losses that we had, accepted those losses. Not the way we lost them, though. That makes it kind of tougher to take, but, you know, just watched that game a little bit tonight on some of the, you know, some of the talent we have. And, you know, the seniors that are leaving, they're not, I mean, we're not losing a ton of guys that aren't replaceable. We're definitely on an upswing.
I don't think there's any doubt that going into next season, one of the themes is going to have to be internally in the program, mm-hmm. how to handle these expectations.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be, depending on where you look, Tennessee will be a trendy pick to win the league next year from a lot of people. And they're going to be a perennial top 25 team by everybody. And, you know, so...
Tony, I look at the defensive line. We're mm-hmm. pretty young on the defensive line
mm-hmm.
with some good talent
mm-hmm.
on there. And that's what really made us in the mid-90s
mm-hmm.
when we got to bringing in all the great defensive the defensive line talent. I mean, all those guys were NFL guys, and the rotation of we need a little more depth, probably. And that's where, I mean, if the defense needs to get a little stronger, not give up some of these little, late game collapses that we had. I like Dobbs's heart and his effort. And if he can get to passing a little better, he's a gamer. And I like to have a gamer as a quarterback.
You know, Jerry Colquitt and Tony Robinson, and especially T-Rob, think that you need to take a guy like that and turn him loose. And, you know, I wonder, and those guys say that they don't throw the ball, Tennessee offensively does not throw the ball deep enough with him. And I personally, it wouldn't bother me to see them throw the ball deep a few more times, because obviously Dobbs can do that. So that's definitely a food for thought kind of thing going into next season. Things they could implement a little more.
Yeah, and then, you know, he's a threat to run the ball, so you can't really just, you know, sit back in coverage, and then you can't stack the run if he can throw deep. The receivers are what's hindering the deep ball more than anything, in my opinion.
Meaning what?
We've got to get a little more progression out of the receivers. They just don't seem to be getting any better.
I'll be curious to see what happens with our wide receivers coach, and if there is level of what's the word I'm looking for? Accountability? Because I'll tell you this. I know a lot of fans get on Zach Azani. I also think Butch Jones sees a lot of himself in Zach Azani. And I think Butch Jones has a soft spot for him. So that'll be real curious to see how that plays out in the offseason.
Yeah, and we've got to get a better field. I'm tired of hearing about the field. Tired of seeing the field. Do we have to resod it every year? That's embarrassing.
It was really terrible today. I know that. And guys were slipping and falling, and I don't know.
But I do want a good bowl. That belt bowl's like in the middle of the week, and you know, I don't really want that. I mean, that Outback bowl's the most appealing to me.
Yeah, take the kids, man.
Oh yeah, I want to go.
Take the kids.
I'm wanting to go.
Yeah,
and it's a good time to be down in Tampa.
Get you a few sunny days in beautiful Tampa, Florida.
Yeah, Clearwater
Beach.
Could
be a whole lot worse than that. Yep, Clearwater Beach. Yeah. No question about it. Well, Mag, thank you.
I had a great time down there. That was one of the
great
most fun bowl trips I've ever had in that former first year, 93, played Boston College.
Never be forgotten by the living fan when Heath Schuller got turned loose. Thank you. Let's go back to the phones, get our next call in. 29 past the hour, I'm awaiting the arrival of Jerry Colquitt, who is stiffing me as we speak. Let's get our next call in, 865-200-5402, and let's welcome our next caller in. Hello and welcome.
Your next caller is Taylor.
Hey, T.
Next level.
T is for Texas, T is for Tennessee, and T is for Taylor.
That's right, Tony. And you're TI. You know what that stands for?
My what?
Your TI is your new nickname.
TI.
Tennessee icon, my friend.
TI. Okay. That makes me sound old, but continue.
No, Tony, you're very seasoned. But Tony, who's a special teams coach at the University of Tennessee? Because
Mark Elder and probably really Butch Jones, but
I thought Butch was really involved. But I'd say Mark Elder, I think that guy needs a raise. Tony, when's the last time you've seen Tennessee special teams be as special as they are?
That would be never in my lifetime.
They're unbelievable. I mean, punt returns, kickoff returns, coverage, punting has been outstanding, and then our kicker has rebounded. He gets the Rolaids comeback player of the year.
Hickey, yes,
has done outstanding.
He gets the relief, Rolaids reliever relief award, fireman of the year. Yes, I agree with you. And the special teams, just look at today's game. The coverage games, the return games. And I'm going to tell you something. Tennessee probably has another touchdown if Vanderbilt's kicker doesn't make a tremendous open field tackle.
Yeah, Tony, I tell you, that aspect of the game, General Nealand would be very proud.
Sutton, you know, look, if tonight's his final game, and it could have been, in Nealand Stadium, it's an apropos way for him to go out taking that ball back, because, and we were talking about the turf before, but he slips on the field. The momentary slip affected the lane integrity by the coverage team just enough. All he needs is the slightest of openings.
There's no doubt about that. Tony,
great athlete.
What happened to our turf discipline?
Turf discipline, you know what? I'm glad you mentioned discipline. I saw tonight an announcer in a game use a statement that Butch Jones must work into his lexicon. And Butch, if you're listening, this was early in the Temple UConn game. Ahmad Brooks, who did that game for ESPN2U, ESPN True, whatever it was on, used the term. You ready for this?
I'm ready, Tony.
Eye manipulation. He said the ball carrier practiced eye manipulation on the defender.
Do you think that the ball carrier had eyes on thighs, or was that the defender that should have eyes on thighs, Tony?
I thought last week at Cassie's that there were a couple of, shall we say, listeners that had eyes on my thighs.
Tony, that's terrifyingly scary. Tony, as, you know, Josh Dobbs is, as I've mentioned, he's a warrior and just an absolute gentleman. Who was the last Tennessee quarterback that had the rushing ability that Josh Dobbs had?
Be a great question for one Jeremiah Colquitt. Jerry Colquitt, last Tennessee quarterback that had the shake, wiggle, and ability to run people over that this guy has, Josh Dobbs, in the open field?
I would say there was a guy better than him. He didn't stick around. I was kind of disappointed he didn't try to stick around for the quarterback competition. That was Brent Schaefer. To me, the thing with him, no, I'm serious. The thing with him, he had enough arm coming in.
Yep.
He just needed to develop that part.
Yeah.
Now, as far as running the ball, oh man,
he could run
better than T. Martin. Better than
I agree
Josh
with that.
Dobbs.
Yeah, well, I forgot all about him. That's a Brent Schaefer. And I know Taylor's laughing because he is kind of a lughead and a kind of a rockhead, but many people forget that when they had the true freshman that year that Schaefer and Ainge both played, because Schaefer is, he was the one quarterback to have when you're having more than one, but if you'll remember, Schaefer at that time started the game. He was the first true freshman to start a game, I believe, in Tennessee football history. I think in SEC football history at that time.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say I have the utmost respect for Jerry Colquitt.
But you laughed in his face.
I didn't mean to. I thought he was being facetious. My apologies.
No, you laughed in his face. That's cool. Jerry can live with that.
What about Heath Shuler? Compare the running ability of Heath Shuler to our own Josh Downs.
I'd say Heath by far is a better runner.
Heath's a better runner than Josh.
Yeah, better runner and better, by far better thrower as well. You gotta remember what Heath Shuler. Heath Shuler was a split back veer option quarterback who could throw the ball tremendously well coming out of high school. So basically you had a guy who, ran the ball very often, had natural running skills. So sometimes when you see, like tonight, that hit on the sideline, sometimes when you see Dobbs get hit, to me it looks like it's because he's a quarterback trying to run in the open field, and you kind of get in between that spot where you can't go down, but if you try to go down, you know, you're going to probably hurt something awkwardly, and you end up just taking a heck of a shot. Well, guys like Heath, it was hard to tackle him. Guy like a Brent Schaefer. Those guys are so good. It's almost like a second back. They can shake you. They had enough strength to where you didn't tackle them just right. Get the leverage on them, get both arms around, wrap them up. They'll run right through it. So, I think that part, and I forgot about Heath. But yeah, Heath was another one. Just, and he had the body for it too. He was probably about 6'1" to 6'1½", a thick, you know, 225 pounds. Sometimes I wonder if Dobbs is too long for the way he actually runs the ball.
That's interesting.
They grow him strong in Western North Carolina. Long-lived Shuler. Jerry, before I sign off, and Tony, I think you've already answered this question, but I'm curious about Mr. Colquitt's opinion of the season. I'm very happy. I said all along, if we get 8 wins, it's a success. I hate the way we lost against Oklahoma and certainly Florida, but I got to say we're a stock. Everybody's buying Tennessee. I'm elated, and I think the future is there, very, very bright for the Big Orange.
Thank you, Taylor. Jerry, your thoughts? Tennessee picks up their 8th win. They finish the regular season at 8-4, and I would like you to assess it.
Yeah. College football at this point, with the 12 game season plus the championship seasons, to me I feel like some of these teams really are 6-17 wins. And I don't want to make folks mad, but I feel like Tennessee would be in that category if we were still in the era of 11 game seasons without the bowl playoff system. I'm glad they are winning against teams that, they should beat. That was very disappointing. Going all the way back to Dooley and the early Butch Jones. I think they turned the corner that way. But man, I really still feel like you got to beat more teams, who can lend you some of that credibility. So you can't be, have a lead versus Oklahoma and then blow it. You can't make a tremendous comeback against Florida and then last 5 minutes blow it. At some point, especially with this 12 game schedule and the amount of just gimmies on there, you gotta you got to get more than what we were, like, 1-5, I believe it was, for, in my opinion, I would say, credible teams. So, you know, you got to get that thing up to about 3 wins, especially on this this type of 12-game season. And then I think we're talking.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. Look, one of those games is North Texas, okay? So one of your games is going to be a bye game. Bowling Green is a pretty good team in a lesser league, but yet a team that offensively is very good. And, you know, they hurt you with the passing game, so obviously they could play a little bit. I like the fact, just looking at the body of work this year, Jerry, defeat Georgia, Tennessee's number in recent years, defeat Missouri, who since coming into the league is undefeated against the Vols. So it's good to get that one out of the way. It would have been in a perfect world, or a better world, I guess you could say. It would have been nice to get a win against Florida. And that's the one that sticks with me. I think that's the one that sticks with a lot of people. But the thing about this season is, and all these seasons, is you can only play the teams that are in front of you. And I give this team a lot of credit for finding the wherewithal after the three real kicks in the rump, and especially the two early, the Oklahoma, Florida, and then right into the Arkansas deal, so I guess it would have been three. The three real kicks in the teeth to come back and have a nice, strong showing at the end of the year and play some pretty good, clean football at the end of the year. Today, rush for over 300 yards. Last week, keep a Missouri team that's pretty good in front of you and just manage the game well. I've seen a lot of growth here, Jerry. Have you seen a lot of growth?
Yeah, the growth is tremendous. And the thing that I'm most proud of, just emotionally, I mean, these guys are so beyond. You think about that, those last couple of 2 years. I feel like if those two teams lined up, I think there was a little bit more talent on some of the Dewey teams in some of those spots. But this team here, they won't quit. And you have to be really good to beat these guys. You guys had noticed that all season. So you just can't go out there and watch Tennessee crumble in the fourth quarter like you did those Dewey teams. Those Dewey teams, I thought they quit on the fans, they quit on themselves, they quit on the coach.
I mean, you had guys like Cordero Patterson out there running around. And, you had some real serious, if you go back and look at those Dooley teams offensively, Tyler Bray's still in the NFL. Now, he's a complete rockhead and a lughead and a kind of a clown. But he had arm talent. I mean, he could flat sling the football. And you had a tight end that's in the NFL right now. You had a couple offensive linemen that are in the NFL right now. So it's not a stretch at what you're saying offensively, especially when you just consider class. Now, going forward, I think next year's team is going to be, top to bottom, probably the most talented team we've seen in a good 10, 12 years here. And next year, it's got to bear out in the record. This year, the record, as I was saying all year, the record is going to be what the record was going to be this year. And this team was capable of doing a lot of things. I think Vegas had put it at 7.5. They hit 8. So next year is going to be really interesting. As we have made the call, ladies and gentlemen, you make the call with Moosehead Lager. We have made the call, and grab a Moosehead when you answer the call. And the great Jerry Colquitt is now joining us. 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. If you'd like to get in with us as we enjoy the action with you on this glorious, victorious Tennessee football Saturday. Let's go back to our phones as we're now over 3 hours here on your Smartway Dalton Bearing Hydraulic Tennessee football fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello and welcome in.
TV, it's Jack. What's up? What's
going on? Hey, Jackie, welcome in, man.
Yeah, good to see you a couple weeks ago at the Hardee's in Jet City.
Yes.
But, you know, good win, good to finish the season. You know, it sucks. You know, we kind of didn't really get a credible win this year. But like you said earlier, we just, you know, beat the teams that were in front of us.
Whoa, wait a second here. I think Georgia's a credible win. You wouldn't call that a credible win? Georgia finishes 9-3 on the year.
Not this year. They don't have any credible wins. So I wouldn't count Georgia's, because Mark Richt, I mean, this year, they played sloppy. I mean, name one game where they played, you know, a complete game and, you know, really